Okay, today's daf is Lamed Tet. We're going to start at Lamed Chet Amud Bet. Baumine Merav Asi, Merabi Asi. We are about 12 lines from the bottom. Okay. Amar of Sheshet. Sorry, a few lines before that. Amar of Sheshet. Okay, about 15 lines from the bottom. Amar of Sheshet. Hai Mishcha Shlika Daramai. This oil that the non-Jews would cook, asur. It's forbidden. So Amar of Safra, Lamai Nichushle. We're going to have a whole list. Okay, there's a bit of a crossover here between we're talking about Bishul Akum, where we're talking about there's not an issue of kosher, non-kosher, but we're going back to all sorts of things that non-Jews serve that part of the question is going to be, is it because it's not kosher? Is it because of Bishul Akum? Maybe there's no reason for any of those concerns and then it can be eaten. Maybe there's an issue of wine being added to some mixture. So now they say this cooked oil is forbidden. So and maybe it's their kelim because it's not kosher. They use non-kosher kelim. So what do we see about this shemen? Why can you eat it? So I'm sorry, it's forbidden. Why is it forbidden? Rav Safra, l'may nichushle. What's the reason? Imishum yaruve. Maybe you think there's wine mixed in and that's the ayin nesach issue. No, Mr. Sari, it's going to cause it to rot, spoil. So nobody would add wine to that. Imishum bishule akum nechalu kamoshu chai. It's eaten raw and therefore it's not subject. You can have oil without cooking it. So the fact that he cooked it shouldn't make it forbidden. Imishum giule of de kochavim. If you think it's because of their kelim, that they're not kosher, no tein tam lifgam hu umutar. Okay, so he says, therefore, it says that it doesn't make sense either because it's going to be no tein tam lifgam. It's going to give a bad taste, right? This is also we talked about this at the end of yesterday, that there's a few different reasons. I actually didn't get into all the details because we're at the end of class, but there's a few different explanations given here as to why we assume that a kli is not going to be ben yomo. In other words, there's an assumption. Either we just say that generally, people didn't use their kalim every single day, so you can just assume that it's not ben yomo, in which case it's going to give a bad flavor. Some people say that there's a fake sveka here. There's a suffix that maybe, that maybe he didn't use it that day. And there's another suffix that maybe he didn't use it with something that's going to give bad, that's going to give a good flavor. Right? Because again, there's a whole concept. We generally say no te tam lefgam is, you know, it has to pass 24 hours, but they knew all those foods about what's going to give a bad taste to it and what's not going to give a bad taste. So even if something was cooked within 24 hours, maybe it'll give a bad taste to this item and then it would be okay. So Rav Safra basically is saying here that I don't know why they forbade this oil. And he basically says, I've gotten rid of the Ein Nesach issue, I've gotten rid of the Bishulei Akum issue, and I've gotten rid of the non-kosher Kalim issue, so I don't know why they forbade it, and he disagrees. Baminei Rabbi Asi. They asked Rabbi Asi a question. Hane ahine shlike daramai. These dates that the Aramim cooked, again, the non-Jews cooked up, mai. What's the halacha with them? So now the Gemara is going to say, in what case are they talking about, right? You can think about it. Dates generally can be eaten raw. So it depends, though, what type of dates. Chulie, if they're sweet dates, lo tibayla. Is certainly he wasn't asking that. Devadai sharu, of course they're allowed because they could be eaten raw. Mirire lo tibayla, devadai asire. Mirire can't be eaten. Bitter dates, you have to cook them up. There's no way to eat them otherwise, in which case they're definitely going to be forbidden. Ki tibayla mitziai, my. His question was about the ones that are in between, that are sort of edible, but sort of not edible raw. Amar lehu, my tibayla hu. To Rabbi Asar, why are you asking this question? My rabbi asserted it. Umanu, and who's this rabbi? Levi. Okay, it's not Rabbi Huda Nasi. He was saying, my rabbi asserted it. And he said, who was it? It was Levi. Okay, shetita. Okay, this is some sort of a porridge made from roasted or toasted grains mixed with honey. So what's the halacha with this? Rav Share, Avod de Shmuel v'Levi Asre. Okay, so there's a machloket between Rav and the father of Shmuel and Levi. Father of Shmuel and Levi forbid it, and Rav matured it. Now again, we're going to say in which case was there a machloket? Bechite v'sare kulei amal aplige de Share. Everyone agrees if you make this parish out of chitim and sorim, it's mutar. B'tal v'chei dechala, but if you, and what's the reason? The assumption is that was never mixed with vinegar. Vinegar, what's the problem with vinegar? Because it was wine originally, and it could have been used for yei nesach. So if you have this parage made from grains, you know, chitim and sorim, barley and wheat, it's not an issue. Everyone agrees it's mutar, at least according to this reading. We'll see soon that there's a debate about this. B'tavchei d'chala, if you make it out of lentils mixed with vinegar, well then, kuli ama lo pligi d'aser, it's obviously forbidden. Ki pligi b'tavcha d'maya, but people who made porridge with, and you're learning a whole thing about the foods they ate in those days and what they concocted. So people made porridge with lentil and water. Mar savar gazrinan ha tuha, umar savar lo gazrinan. It's a debate about whether, right, there's obviously no ister in it, but maybe we should be gozer, because if we let them eat the lentil porridge without the vinegar, they'll end up coming to eat the lentil porridge with the vinegar. V'ikad amri, some people say no, but talfachay demaya kule amalo pligi de aser. Everybody agrees that we forbid any kind of lentil porridge less that, you know, that they might come to eat it with the vinegar. Ki pligi b'chiti v'sare, and the machloket is b'chiti min sori. Mar savar gazrina ha tuha, mar savar lo gazrina. Do we say that any porridge is forbidden because you might come to then make lentil, eat the lentil porridge with vinegar that the non-Jew made, or not? So the whole question is, according to the second reading, is there gzera on the chiti min sori? Okay, whereas the first reading said everyone agreed that was okay. I'm a Rav. Trei mine shetita. I don't know why the Gemara is telling you this, but you should just know that there's two types of shetita. Okay, the fact that we talk about lentil porridge and wheat and barley porridge actually appears in the Nevi'im. Shadar Barzilai Giladi LeDavid. Barzilai Giladi sent these two types of porridge. Not sure. Oh, I guess the relevance here is right. What's the relevance? He was not Jewish. So he sent both these types of porridge to Barzila, to David. Dechtiv, mishka v'sapot ukle yotzer chitim usorim. Okay, he sent all sorts of bedding and sapot. There could be basins. I know we call sapot couches, but since we translate as basins, and other kelim, and chitim and sorim, v'kemach v'kali. The kali is that roasted, the toasted kamach from the flour of the chitim and sorim, ufuv adashim v'kali. And again, kali appears twice. It appears at the chitim and sorim, and it appears at the adashim. So you see these two types of stuff. Barzilai Agiladi said. Now the Gemara ends with v'hashduhu de kamach keitzane tzane l'shuke dinahardea. Remember, Avua Deshmua V'Levi asked, and he says, well, go look outside in the shuk, and you can see that they bring all these porridges, and they sell these non-Jewish porridges in the shuk. Think of like breakfast cereal, right? We buy all this cereal that's obviously made by non-Jews, right? And it's obviously not the same thing. But anyway, they say, look, you can see they're selling all these things in the shuk, and nobody's worried about it, okay?
And that's enough of a reason. Everybody's doing.
So yafet. So that's a big thing in general where sometimes you say, yeah, puk chaze ma amadavar. Go outside and see what the people are doing. And if everybody's nohag, well, again, it's not like everybody ushered it. There was a machloket about it. And the fact that everybody's going with the opinion that it's mutar shows that there's room for leniencies. Yeah.
So it should happen with kidney.
Right. It could be. Okay. Ukvashim, the problem with kidneyot is what I told you the other day, which is that at a certain point, pashati suro. And once that happens, it's very difficult for them to say that we can allow it. Also, what's the difference? Here, we talked about it also, that we're talking about gzerot. There's gzerot that are differences lahalacha, like halachic opinions. This is two different halachic opinions. Is it mutar? Is it asur? We can go by the one that matters it. That was something that was mutar lagamre, but there was a gzera, which nobody really knows when the gzera started and why it started. We only hear about it after the fact. There was a gzera that forbade it, even though it's actually, everyone knows it's mutar, but yet they made a gzera to forbid it for a very, you know, we don't know why. Again, everybody offers all sorts of reasons, and that's why it's in a bit of a different category. So it makes it a little more complicated. Okay, kvashin shedarchan latei betuchan yayin. Okay, these are pickled things that wine goes in, that there's wine inside of them. One second. So according to the Mishnah, it was listed in a list of all sorts of things that are asurin ve'eni surani surana. You can't eat them, but they're not asur b'hana. Amar Chizkia, lo shanu ela shedarchan, aval biyadua asur afilu b'hana'a. Okay, remember this, because we're going to get back to Chizkiah and Rabbi Yochanan, who's coming up in a second, at the very end of the daf. So, Chizkiah says, this is only if we think maybe they add wine. But if we know they add wine to them, then it's us or even Bahana'ah, because then it's Yei Nesach again. Umashna mi morayis shishara rabbanam bahana'a. What about this morayis where the rabbi said it's mutar bahana'a, even biyadua? So they say, even if you know for sure there's wine in them, ha tam lavure zuama, ha ha limituke tama. The morayis has wine just to take out the bad flavor. You don't want the wine for itself. You want it for what it's doing to the mixture of the fish stew. But when it comes to the pickling, you actually want the sweet taste of the wine in it. So therefore, it's the flavor, and therefore it's asur b'hana'ah, for sure it's yenesech, whereas morayis is not going to be asur b'hana'ah. Even if you know that they put wine in, we're still not concerned because the wine is not there for its flavor. Rabbi Yochanan amar, filu biyadua nami mutar. He disagrees, and he says, even when you know that they put wine in, it's still mutar b'hana'ah. Now, according to Rabbi Yochanan, everyone agrees that the kfashim, that the pickled stuff with the wine, is going to be mutar bahana, even if you know they put wine in it. But morayis was a machloket Rabbi Meir v'chachamim about. Right, a minute ago we talked about it as if it's aser, but that's as if it's mutar the morayis. That's because we were talking about chachamim. But Rabbi Meir says the morayis is aser bahana. So why would he say that the pickled stuff is mutar and the is mutar bahana, and the morayis is asur bahana? Hatam yedia mamasho, hacha lo yedina mamashan. When it comes to think about it. When you eat this fish stew, you're actually eating the wine. When you eat the pickled stuff, you're not eating the wine. Maybe a little bit is absorbed into the food you're eating, but you don't eat the juice. Whereas the juice is definitely what you're eating in the fish stew. So there's two opposite ways of, right? Each way we view it differently, whether one is more chamor or one is more ka. Okay, back to the Mishnah. There was a whole list of things. Now we're going to go through them. A bunch of them we said we'll see in the Gemara when we get here. Tarit trufa betzir she'im badaga. And the chilek. Okay, so now we're getting to this chilek, which we already explained in the Mishnah based on the Gemara, but we'll see it inside. Now, my chilek, Amar Rav Nachman Bar Abba, Amar Rav, Zo Sultanit. It's a type of small fish that, if you remember, what did we say about it? That it wasn't noticeable that it had scales, but, oh no, it didn't have scales to begin with, but later on, fins and scales, but later on it grows them. Right? If you want to buy it from a non-Jew, you can't because there's a concern that they would catch all sorts of other small fish with it, and it might be mixed in with other small fish. And since you can't see the skins, the scales and the fins probably you could see. Well, I don't know. Maybe it didn't grow fins either. But since you couldn't see them right away, the signs of kashrut weren't noticeable, so therefore you can't distinguish between them and the other fish.
That will go for the same for a Jew. If he catches fish, how can he
right, it would go for a Jew also, right? The issue was only if, right, the truth is it was only if you bought it from someone who, well, the Jew you can assume when he would catch them, he'd be careful about it. I think that's the issue. Whereas the non-Jew wouldn't necessarily distinguish between them, but they said if it was an Uman, we saw a source that said if it was an Uman and they were a specialist, right, then they would make sure only to have chilik, they wouldn't mix it in with other things. Okay, we're going to get into all sorts of types of fish. Most of them, they don't really know exactly what they are. Tanu Rabbanan. Ein lo achshav v'ati l'gadel l'achar zman. Okay, so here we have exactly the description. It doesn't have right now signs of kashrut, but eventually it will grow. Kigon hasultanit v'ha'apitz, another type of fish. Hare ze mutar. Okay, these are allowed. These are kosher fish. What if it has now? But, oh, by the way, this is all darshan from, it says, if Sampir Vakaskeset ain lo. So they darshan ain lo, ayain bo. In other words, look carefully, because even if it doesn't have now, it might have later. And then, what if it has now, but as soon as it gets out of the water, it sheds its scales? So, atid lahashir bo shalash olem in ayam, kigon, akunu sapunas, Kitasfastais, Vaachstafstais. Sorry, I'm having trouble with these. Vatunas. Some people said this is tuna. Mutar. Okay, these are all mutar. Okay, they're different types of fish. Some people say that akunas is mackerel and afuna, kitafsias. I forgot. There were a few names given to these, at least potentially, what these fish were, although it's not so clear. There's a chair right here. Okay. Mutar. Okay, these are all permitted, because as long as they have, in the pasuk it also says when they're in the water, so they darsh them from there, as long as they have it in the water, even if they lose them when they get out of the water. Achriz Rabbi Avahu b'Kesri. Rabbi Avahu said in Kesaria, kirbe dagim v'ubaran, if you have the innards of the fish, or their eggs, nikachim mikol adam, you can buy them from anybody. Why? Cheskatan einam ba'im ela mipulsav aspamya. Where there's two places where it's coming from, either aspamya or plusa, and those two places are known that there aren't any non-kosher fish in those waters. Okay, so now they're going to try to figure out, okay, now they're going to say, ki hada amar abai, it's just like Abai said, haitza chanta debav, if you buy this chilak in Bav, remember the chilak, we were worried it's going to have a mixture of non-kosher fish, you can buy it in Bav, debav nahara, sharia. If it's from the Bav River, it's mutar. My time, what's the reason? So how can you know that there's not any non-kosher fish here? So now they're making assumptions about non-kosher fish. Ilem amishum deridife maya. Maybe it's because the water there is very, it moves rapidly, it's rapids. V'hai dag tamei and dagim tmeim kevan delet lechut hashidra, they have no backbone. And therefore, beduchta deridife maya lo matzekai, they can't survive in running, fast-flowing water. It can't be that, because chazin and dekai, we do see, in fact, they do survive in that kind of water. Ela mishum demaliche maya, maybe because it's salty water. V'hai dag tamei, kevan delet lekalfe, beduchta, kevan delet lekalfe, because it doesn't have scales, beduchta demaliche maya lo matze, they can't survive in the salty waters. And the assumption, I think, is that the scales kind of protect them from the salt. They can survive. We see that they do survive. Ela mishum de lomar betina. Maybe because there's not enough like clay in the water, or like a certain substance in the dirt in the water. De lomar betina dug tam. How do we say it? Read it. De lomar betina dug tame. Okay. In other words. Right. The issue is that delomar betina dag tamei. In other words, the dirt that's the soil that's in that type of water doesn't allow them to reproduce. It doesn't allow dagim tameim to reproduce, and that's in fact the conclusion they come to. I don't know the scientific facts of this, the differences between the dagim tameim and dagim tameim, but that's what the Gemara concludes. Amar Ravina. Ha'idna, he says, but nowadays things are different. Because the kashafche bein Nahar Guza and Nahar Gamda asire. But now the Nahar Guza and the Nahar Gamda dump into this body of water, and therefore now you have to be concerned for all sorts of fish because they bring other types of fish. Amrabai, hai chamra diyama share, Torah diyama aser. Okay, this fish that's called the chamor, the donkey of the water, and there's a fish that's called the ox of the water. Now, generally, chamor is not kosher, and ox is kosher, but the fish that's called chamor diyama, the donkey of the water, is kosher, and the one that's called the ox of the water is not kosher. V'simanech, and how do you remember this? Tamei tahor, tahor tamei. Okay, the one that's okay. Amarav Ashi, Shfarnuna Share. Okay, this dog that's called Shfarnuna is mutar, and the way you remember this is, And Kadesh Nuna, okay, the one that's called Kadesh Nuna is Asir. And the way you remember this, Simanech Kodesh LaShem. Okay? Now, in fact, you might say, wait, Kodesh LaShem sounds like it's a good thing, right? But Kodesh is always forbidden. But some people actually have the opposite girsa, that it's the Kodesh one that's Mutarin, because we say Kodesh LaShem, okay? And it's, the pasuk is actually Kodesh LaShem. Some people say it comes from a different pasuk. It's Kodesh LaShem, Kodesh Yisrael Kodesh LaShem, or something like that, where it's saying it's allowed to the Jews. So there's different debates about it. It was obvious people didn't know which fish they were referring to, and therefore they had opposite girsaot of the, you know, what they thought the fish they were referring to were different fish. Igad Amre, same thing here, by the way. There's also an opposite girsa here. Kavar Nuna Asur, v'simanech Kivrei Ovdei Kochavim. Now, Kivrei Ovdei Kochavim is a weird one, because Kivrei Ovdei Kochavim, generally we say, Mikar Adin, they're not Metame, and only Kivrei Yehudim are Metame. So some people say it's the opposite. Kivrei Ovdei Kochavim are dafka the ones that are mutar, and therefore this dog is mutar. Other people say, no, it just sounds like, you know, they're dead, like a negative term, sort of. Okay, Rabbi Akiva Ikla Leginzak. He came to the place called Ginzak. Aitra the Kamea Hu Nuna. They brought him this fish called the Nuna. De Havidamo Le Chipusha. Okay, it looked like this Chipusha, which was a non-kosher fish. Hafya bedikule. So he thought it was it, but then he covered it with a basket. And chazabe kalfe. And then all of a sudden, the way, you know, you could see all of a sudden that it had actually scales. And therefore, sharye. Rav Ashi ikla letam duria. He came to this place. Aiti lekamea hu nuna. Also, this fish came. They brought this fish before him. To have a dame litzlufcha. Okay, it looked like this dog that was also, that was kosher, actually. Nate lahade yoma. No, sorry. Oh, no, sorry. You're right. I was confusing it with the next one. It looks like an eel, which isn't kosher. Nate lahade yoma. Chaz dehava beit simche. Visharia. Okay, he put it in a... He put it up into the sunlight. He looked very carefully, and he noticed, oh, in fact, it does have scales, and he mocked it.
That doesn't answer the fins question, which eels don't have.
Right. It's true. I don't know why that doesn't come up here. Okay? Yeah. What?
No, nothing.
He said it actually had, like, very thin scales. The tzimche is a little bit of this thin scale. Yeah.
It's also interesting that they don't make these decisions by themselves. They seem to wait, and anybody can see this, but they seem to wait till a rabbi comes there and mocks it.
This was that the rabbis themselves, it came before them.
Right,
in other words, no, but they brought him this fish. The rabbi was just checking it to make sure. It didn't sound to me like they were waiting for the rabbi. It sounded like they all thought these fish were okay, but then the rabbi, it was given to the rabbi, and he said, wait, let me just check this.
But did they eat it before the rabbi came? It seems like they...
Well, if they brought it before... Oh, you think... I thought they brought it before, meaning they served it to him. That's how I understood it. That they served it to him, and he was just a little concerned. Maybe this doesn't look like kosher fish, and then he checked it. That's how I understood it.
But in the first case, it's still alive.
It was still alive.
They say he covered it with a basket, and the way he found out was he thrashed against the bags.
So, right. I think they're just telling stories of rabbis who went places and kind of checked out the fish there to see if they could eat them.
But it's interesting to wonder if they made the decision themselves.
Right. I assume that they're trying to say also, just, you know, take advice from these rabbis. Go look in the sunlight. Go put it in a basket. You'll be able to see better. We'll see some other tricks they used. Okay. Rav Ash Iklala, who... Atra, Aitu lekame nuna, dave dame leshafar nuna. Okay, they brought him a fish that looked like a shafar nuna. Chafye b'maski lechiure. He covered it in something white. Chaza bekalfe, and then with the contrast, he was able to see the scales. Visharye, and he matured it. Rav Rabbachana ikla akra da agma. He got to a place called Akra da Agma. Krivule tzachanta. Okay, they brought him this fish, which presumably was kosher. But then he heard someone referring to it by the name of bate, which is not a kosher fish. Dafka, this is the opposite of the other cases. They brought it to him and he thought it was kosher, and then he heard someone call it this non-kosher name. And lo achamine. Okay, he says the fact that they call it this must mean, I bet you there's something not good about this. So he didn't eat it. Litzafra, in the morning, I am ba, right? There's an assumption this is not... wouldn't be relevant nowadays, but we have very good light, but those days they didn't have good lighting. In the morning, he looked at it. Eshkach be davar tame. Okay, and he actually found that there was some fish there that didn't have scales on it. Kare anafshe, he said about himself, lo yunele tzadik kol av. Right, God protected me. God protects the tzadikim from having bad things happen to them. The fact that the guy mumbled this thing about bate made him realize, wait, there's something wrong here.
I would think it would smell bad.
It would smell bad, right?
By the morning.
Oh, by the morning, right. How they maybe it was really cold and have good heating.
What's called sahana. Sahana.
What's called sahana?
No,
the fish.
Stinks.
Ah, because it reeks. Okay. Yafeh. Hakurt shel chiltit. Okay, this is a... I have to remember. It's a what?
A grain of something.
A grain of something?
Well, it says it doesn't translate.
Of chiltit. Okay, it doesn't translate it. So now they want to know what's wrong with this. My time, amishum demafsike lebes sakina. They cut it with a knife. Okay, you all know kashrus, you cut an onion with a knife, what happens? The sharpness of the onion brings out, even if it's not a benyomo, right? You haven't used it in a long time. It brings out whatever flavor was in there. And we're going to learn that it turns it into noten tam lishvach, as opposed to lifgam. In other words, normally after 24 hours, flavors go bad. The onion has this strength that it brings out the good, it turns the flavor back to good. It almost like revives it, you could say. So the same thing with this chilti. This chilti was whatever it was something sharp. Okay, so they say because you cut it with a knife, af agav damar notein tam lifga mutar, agav chorfe, because of the harifut, the sharpness, dechiltata machalia lesham nunita. Okay, it brings it back to life. Vahavilei kenotein tam lishvach. In other words, the assumption is that they cut this meat with the knife, and non-kosher meat, and therefore, so if you take from a non-Jew this chiltit, you can't have, it's like when you go, and people always say you can eat salads anywhere, but you can't eat salads that have anything sharp in them. Onions, scallions, garlic, anything that has sharpness in them, the sharpness is going to come out. Anything they use the knife for will come out, and therefore it's penote tam l'shvach. V'asur. Avdei de Rabbi Levi. Okay, now we're going to get into a whole interesting thing about ne'emanut. Who can we trust? So there was an Eved Kanani of Rabbi Levi. Hava kamaz ben chiltita. He was selling chiltit, okay? He had a second job. He didn't only work as his Eved, but he also sold on the side. Ki nach nafsh, and everyone bought from him because they knew he was Rabbi Levi's Eved, and he knew the halachas. Ki nach nafsh de Rabbi Levi, but what happens when Rabbi Levi died? So atu the kamei de Rabbi Yochanan. Amrulei, ma'u the mizma mine. Can we still buy from him? Can we assume he's still selling only kosher stuff? Amar lehu avdo shel chaver harei ukechaver. If he was the eved of a rabbi, then you know someone who is knowledgeable about halacha, right? A chaver is someone who's knowledgeable about halacha, not just rabbi. Anyone who keeps halacha, then he's like a chaver. Rav Huna bar Menuhin is avin techelta me anshe debate to Rav Amram Chasida. Huna bar Menuhin bought techelah from the household of Rav Amram Chasida, which sounds like his wife. Ata lekamei de Rav Yosef lo hava biyade. He said, can I buy the tchelet from his wife? Now, what's the issue with the tchelet? The tchelet came from this, it's the dye from the chilazon. And there was a fake tchelet, okay? So there was this fake tchelet, I'm now forgetting the name. Right, it's called Kala Ilan. And there was, a lot of people were known for selling this fake tchelet. So they wanted to know, could they trust the wife of Rav Amram Chasida? Interesting, right? Her husband was a chassid, but, you know, we don't know about her. And therefore, he wanted to know. So they bring up for Yosef Lohava Biyade. This is a very interesting way they tell the story. He didn't know. Pagabe Hanan Chayata. Hanan Chayata bumps into Rav Yosef. Amarle, Yosef Anya, Menale. How are you supposed to know this halacha? I don't know why he says that to him. Okay? But then he continues to say, Bididi Hava Uvda, but you know, luckily you bumped into me because it happened to me, a case about this exact same thing. And I have an answer. Dizvine tchilta me'anche debete de rabna'a achua de rabbi chia bar abba. I bought tchilet from, or somebody bought tchilet from the people of the household of rabna'a achua de rabbi abba, chia bar abba, which seems to be, again, his wife. Va'ate lechame de rab matna. It was brought before Rab Matna, lo hava biyade. He didn't know the answer. Ate lechame de rab Yehuda me'agronia. And then I brought it before Rabbi Yehuda Me'agronia. Okay, interesting that nobody knew the answer to this pretty basic question. Amar li, nafal liyad. Now there's a bunch of ways of interpreting this. Either he says, you fell exactly into the right place because I'm the only one who knows this. Or he's saying it, what's such a big deal? Like, this is such an obvious thing because he says like this, Hachi Amar Shmuel, which people should have known, so it sounds like it's more, I don't know why you're making such a big deal about this question. Everyone should know this, which again, makes us wonder why he said to Rav Yosef, there was no way you could have known this. So it's a bit of strange exactly what's going on here. But he says, Shmuel said, Eshe chaver hareu kechaver. Okay, the wife of someone who's knowledgeable halachically is considered also knowledgeable halachically. We saw this, by the way, with the almana, right? Can we trust the almana once her husband dies? Does she know halacha? Does she not know halacha? Probably this tfisa that women didn't necessarily know a lot, and therefore there was a concern maybe they did or didn't know halacha. Detana Rabbanan, here's a braita. Oh, Taninu laha detana Rabbanan. There's a braita that supports this. Esha chaver hareu kechaver. Okay, the wife of a chaver is like a chaver. Avdo shel chaver hareu kechaver. Chaver shemeit, ishto banavu b'nei b'to hareim b'chez katan, ad sheyachshedu. Okay, and once the husband dies, everyone in his house is assumed that they're keeping halachot, unless they do something that is ma'orer chashad. B'chein, chatzir shemachuin ba'tchelet, harei b'hu b'chez kata adjati pasel. Okay, a place where they sell tchelet, again, as long as we assume from the beginning they were kosher, you can assume they continue to be selling the kosher tchelet, the real one, and not the counterfeit one, until we catch them. And there's a whole tfisa. Do we trust people until they mess up? Or do we say the opposite, which we're going to see other opinions about this in different situations?
This makes me think of kashrut like
that. Mm-hmm. Yafes. So we're going to talk about kashrut here. Tana Rabbanan. Eishan Ama'aretz sheniseit lechaver v'chein bito shel Ama'aretz. Here's a different case. She's married to an Ama'aretz, and then he dies or divorces her, and then she gets married to a chaver. And a bito shalama aret sheni seit lechaver, or the daughter of someone who's not religious who becomes, you know, marries someone religious. V'chein avdo shalama aret, again an eved shenim kar lechaver, that gets sold to a chaver. Kulam tzrichim lekabel divrei chaverut. They have to do something. Okay, it's not clear what this is exactly, but accept upon themselves halacha in order to be trusted. Aval eshet chaver sheni seit lama aret. What if you go the reverse? You're married first to someone who keeps halacha, and then you get married to someone who doesn't keep halacha, or doesn't keep all the halacha, right? Now, Maharet doesn't necessarily not keep any halacha, but not so careful about things. All those same people. Rabbi Meir says, we can assume they're still keeping halacha, even though they've now gone and married someone who doesn't keep halacha so well. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, but Rabbi Yehuda disagrees and says, "Apein shrichim lekabel divrei chaverut lechatchila." Okay, they have to take upon themselves and state somehow. Okay, make it clear that they're keeping halachot. V'chein ha'yarushim ben Elazar Omer, ma'aseh b'isha achat sheniseit lechaver. Okay, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar said there was a case of a woman who was married to a chaver. V'aita kosheret lo tefillin al yado. That you're going to find this one very interesting. She would basically put on his tefillin for him. And then she got married to the tax collector after that, who's generally the tax collectors were very suspect individuals. Okay, obviously there's no such thing as a kishrei moches, but the point is she was helping him to maybe steal money from other people, right? That was the generally the mochsim were concerned that they were taking taxes, extra money, and pocketing it on the sides. So basically it's showing the woman's very fickle and she goes with whoever she's married to, and that would support Rabbi Yehuda, who basically saying once she goes and marries an Amarich, unless she declares that she's keeping with the halacha, you can't necessarily trust her. Okay? I wanted to just read this halacha. I think it comes up. I can't remember now if it's on this or here. Let's just read. Yeah. Hachashut. Okay, the Shulchan Aruch in Yoredea Kufyud Chet says, one second, I think it's Kufyut. No, that was the other thing, right? Okay. So in Kufyut Tet, it says, Hachashud le'chol dvarim asurim, benim uchashud b'yisur Torah, benim uchashud b'yisur d'rabanan, ein l'smoch alav behem, v'im nitareach etzlo, lo yuchal mishalom midvarim shu chashud alehem. Okay, you can't, okay, whether you're, whether it's an yisur d'raban or yisur d'raita, you can't trust him. And, but if you, and if you go be a guest there, lo yuchal mishalom midvarim shu chashud alehem. Okay, you can't eat from things that he's suspect for. Just one second, I think this comes up. Oh, yeah. Sorry, this comes. I want to learn a little more, and then we'll get back to this. Okay, I forgot. It comes up a little bit more later, so we'll get back to the Shulchan Aruch. Okay, Amarav. Now we're going to get back to, if you remember, you have to put a seal on foods when you give them to a non-Jew to watch. And then there was this whole debate about the seal, whether it's
a double seal
for certain things, a single seal for other things. So now we're going to have some Rashi Tevot that help you to remember which ones, although there's going to be a debate about them. Amarav. Chavit asur b'chotam achad. Okay, this doesn't mean a chavit, a barrel. It means the Rashi Tevot, Chet Bet Yud Taf, is forbidden with one chotam, meaning you need two. Champag mutar b'chotam achad. So what do these stand for? Chalav, basar, yayin, tchelet. Okay, milk, meat, wine, and tchelet are asurim b'chotam achad. Okay, you can't trust them. Okay, here we see this issue of the tchelet. It was such a non-trusting thing about the tchelet. They were worried if you give him your tchelet to watch, he might exchange it with the fake tchelet, because he can make more money off the good tchelet. Chiltit, morayis, pat, gvina, these are all the things in the Mishnah that are only usur to eat, but not mutarim b'hana'ah. These are mutarim b'chotam echad. So now they're going to say, pat l'may nichushle, what's the issue of the pot? Imishu mechlufe, and what are you worried even that you need a chotam echad? If you're worried they're going to switch fresh bread with, right, you give him fresh bread and he's going to switch it for old bread. So, career b'chamim, it made the idea, you're going to know if he gives you back older bread than what you gave him. Anyway, I don't know how long he's watching this for, but let's say, you know, a few hours, you're going to come back and say, hey, this bread is so old, it shouldn't have aged that much in the time I gave it to you. D'chiti b'sari nami, made the idea. If he's going to make the bread, you made it with chitim, which are more expensive, and he switches it with sorim, which is less expensive. Also, you'll be able to taste it and know that he switched it, or you'll be able to see even. And therefore, it can't be that. Iki adade kevan de ikachotam achad lo taraf umazayef. So now they're going to say, what's the issue? We're worried that maybe you had a bread of chitim that was a certain freshness, and he wanted to switch it with his bread that was the same freshness. Well, there's not enough motivation for him that if you put on one chotam, he's certainly not going to bother. So that's the issue. With the chotam achad, you have to create a situation where it would be not worth his while, and therefore chotam achad would be enough to prevent him from doing it. V'rab, maishna gvina de lo taref u'mezayef, chalav nami lo taref u'mezayef. It's the cheese also. What's the assumption with the cheese? It's like the pot. It's not worth his effort. It's not that expensive for him to switch your cheese with his cheese. Chalav should be the same thing. So why was chalav in the category that needed two chotamot? Amarav kahana, apik chalav al chatichat ad she'en basiman. Switch it. It's not chalav. It's the chet is chatichat dag she'en basiman. It doesn't have simanim of kashrut. And then you're worried that he might switch it with his. Okay? And then there's a concern. Some people say that those type of fish were more expensive, the ones that eventually grow scales, and therefore he might switch it with one that's not going to eventually grow scales. Some people say because the Isser d'Oraita were more machmir, because if you eat non-kosher fish, that's forbidden by the Torah. And therefore, it's an issue. But then they say, if you want to say that, hainu basar. It's basically the same thing as saying basar, because it's meat of fish or meat meat of an animal. It's all basically the same, so you wouldn't need a separate letter for that. So the answer, no. Last one. Plus, hainu basar, tre gavne basar, right? There's two types. You could say, no, there's fish and there's meat. And maybe you think there was a difference between them, and therefore he lists them both. Okay, so according to that, the chet is chatichat da'ag, and the bet is basar. Ushmuel amar, bet asur b'chotem echad, machag mutar b'chotem echad. Okay, he now says, he gets rid of the chet, because he dumps this chatichat dag, because he says it's the same as basar, you don't need to say it. And the machag, he dumps the pei, which is the pot. Okay, so, basar yayin tchelet asurim b'chotem echad, murayis chilti gvina mutarim b'chotem echad. L'shmuel, chatichat dag she'en basiman, haynu basar, right? And therefore, right, trei gavne basar, lo amrina. And he says, we don't say two types of basar. Okay, and he gets rid of pot, because maybe he thinks that there's no concern that anyone's switching bread. Tana Rabbanan. Ein lokhim yamach machag b'Suria. Okay, if you're in Syria, you can't buy. Now, here's an assumption, even from Jews. This is why we're going to get to soon the Shulchan Aruch about buying. That's why I forgot that we hadn't yet talked about the buying. That was a case about ne'amanut of people, you know, not necessarily that you're buying from them, though. Here we're talking about purchasing things. So you can't buy the following items in Syria. Lo, okay, yamach machag. What does this stand for? Lo yayin, v'lo morayis, v'lo chalav. V'lo melach sal kondarit, which is what we saw in the Mishnah, which we said we'll explain when we get to it. V'lo chiltit, not this chiltit, v'lo gvina, ela mina mumche. Okay, unless it's someone who's an expert, who's very careful, right, not to use a knife or anything else, or not to, you know, they'll be very makpid on things. V'kulam, but here they make a distinction, im nitarech etz abalabayit mutar. But if you go to someone's house, then it's mutar. Okay, this is very interesting. Okay, we're going to talk about this distinction in a minute. We'll see in the Shulchan Aruch of the Paskin. This is supported by what Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi also says. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, shagar lo balabayit lebeito mutar. If a balabayit sends you something, it's as if you were in his house. My time, a balabayit lo shavet kater v'achli sur. He would never send you anything he himself wouldn't eat. So if somebody sends it to your house, you can assume you can eat it. It's just like going to his house. And therefore it says, okay, whatever he's sending, he's sending it from what he...
You mean a Jew sending to another
Jew? A Jew sending to another Jew. So now, the question is, what's the situation here? So the Shulchan Aruch says, ha-chashud le'echol dvarim asurim, beinim u'chashud b'yisur Torah, beinim b'yisur d'Rabbanan, ein l'smoch aleihem. Okay, someone who's suspect, you can't trust. Okay, this sugya is obviously not referring to someone who's suspect. This is just a standard. You don't know that they're suspicious about anything. You can assume they keep halacha. But if they're suspect, then ein l'smoch aleihem, right? But v'im nitareach imo lo yucham ishalod v'im shu chashud aleihem. Okay, and if you're going to go to his house, you have things that you'd be worried about, you can't. The Rama adds, though, v'yesh omrim afilu mimi she'eno chashud. There's a big debate here. What if someone's not chashud? Do you need to know that they do keep kosher, or is it enough just to not know that they don't keep kosher, right? There's a big debate. So the Rama says here, afilu mimi she'eno chashud, rak she'em mikirin oto shu muchzach b'kashrut. So you don't know, but you also don't know that he's chashud. Asur l'kno mimenu yayin o shar dvarim, she'yesh l'chush li'isur. Okay, that's where you can't buy these things. Mi'um nitarech etzlo ochel imo. But if you go to his house, then you can't eat by him, okay? So he says if you don't know for sure that they're not keeping kashrut, then you can assume that they are. But not to buy from them, but yes to... So this, what's this basically saying? When you go to a store, it has to have hashkacha on it. Now that's important, even if the person who owns the store isn't a person who's suspect of not keeping kosher. But you would still be able to eat in his house. Just interesting, an interesting distinction the Rama makes. Okay, moving on. Umelach salkondarit, my melach salkondarit, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, melach shekol, right, this never defined a word but the word itself, melach shekol salkondare romi ochlinota. Okay, it's the salt that all the, whatever this word means, of Romi ochlim. Some people say it means bakers. Some people say it means the important people of Rome eat it. Tana Rabbanan, melech salon dekari, shchora asura levana muteret. Now we're going to see that there's a debate about was all melech salon dekari or only the white. Okay, divrei Rabbi Meir, but only the black is asur, but the white is mutar. That's what Rabbi Meir says. Rabbi Yehuda says the opposite. Levana asura shchora muteret. Rabbi Yehuda ben Gamliel, Mishum Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel omer, zov zov asura. They're all forbidden. Amaram Rabbi Chana, Rabbi Yochanan. Now we're going to see a little bit why it's asur. Ledivrei omer levana asura. They say, because kirbei dagim levanim tmeim uravim ba. They claim that there were the intestines of white tamei fish that were mixed up with it in the salt. I don't know why they put the intestines of fish inside the salt, but okay. The Divrei Omer Shchora Asura, Kirbei Degin Shchorim Tmeim Uravim Ba. And the Divrei Omer Zov Zov Asura, Zev Zem Uravim Ba. Okay, so either the black ones they would put the non-kosher black fish in, or the white ones they would put non-kosher white, the intestines of the non-kosher white fish, or the one who said they were all forbidden think that both the black and the white had non-kosher fish in the intestines of them mixed in with the salt. Amar Rabbi Abba, Mishum Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, Zakena Yad Yab Shkunatenu, Shem Machlik Paneh B'Shuman Chazir. Here's a different reason given, is that it was known that people put pig fat, lard, on it, that they would, you know, kind of glaze it with lard. Hare Elu Asurim, Lemi'ute Mai, L'Chizki, okay, so now, just, I told you we were going to get back to Chizki and Rabbi Yochanan at the end. So, if you remember the kvashin shederkan latepet choyayin, Chizkia said is only things that are darkan. But if you know for sure there's wine, then it's usher even as isur hana'a. So when the Mishnah says at the end, these are things are usher for eating, but not isur hana'a. So according to Chizkia, what did this mean? L'Chizkia l'mi'ute biyadua. It was trying to say these things are not usher b'hana'a, but if you know for sure there was wine mixed in, then they'd be usher. Rabbi Yochanan, who said that no, even if you know it's going to be mutar bahana'a, so what does he say it's coming to exclude? Morayas uvinat bedonaiki ustama ki Rabbi Meir. Okay, it's to say that the Morayas and the, Asher bahana'a, the Morayas and the Gvinat Beronaiki, right. Then we're assuming that this last line comes to hold by Rabbi Meir Shita. If you remember, Rabbi Meir said that those things were Asur Bahana'a, and it was coming to say that these things, Morayas and Gvinat Beronaiki, we paskin like Rabbi Meir that they're Asur Bahana'a. And the other things on the list are Mutar Bahana'a. It's to say these are Mutar Bahana'a, but the Morayas and the Beronaiki we hold like Rabbi Meir and we're Machmir. Okay, we'll go a little bit more. Elu Mutarim Ba'achila. Okay, these things you're allowed to eat. Okay, remember, we started with these things are usher to eat and hana'a. That was the yenesech and a whole bunch of other things. Then we had these things are mutar to eat, but I'm sorry, asur to eat, but mutar b'hana'a. Now we get to things you can even eat. Chalav shechavo ovei kochavim v'Yisrael ro'eu. Okay, this leads to what we do nowadays, right? That we have pasteurized. We know that they keep to certain standards, right? And therefore, we can eat it. It's as if there's a Yisrael ro'ehu. V'hadvash, okay, honey, v'hadav divoniot, afal pishin minatfim, ein beh mishum hechsher mashke. Okay, this is a different thing. This is that things that, like, some people say this is a honeycomb, it has some honey dripping from it, or maybe other things, they have a little bit of liquid dripping from it. That's not considered a liquid that's going to be machsher, something like habal tuma. U'kfashin she'ein darkan latet l'tuchan yayim v'chometz. Okay, let's say there's pickled vegetables you can have of theirs because pickling is not considered cooking. And if they don't put wine or vinegar in them, they pickle them with other substances, then it's mutar. Tariche and a trufa, this was this kosher fish that was chopped up in the previous Mishnah, and therefore you were worried maybe something was mixed in. Here it's not chopped up, so you can really see and identify it. Vitzir sheyesh ba daga, okay, it's a brine that has, a fish in it. We'll see what that is in the Gemara. But Aleh Shel Chiltit, this is, remember, the Chiltit itself, we were worried because it's sharp, but the leaf of the Chiltit is not sharp. V'zeitei glus ka'odam agugalim, we'll get to this in the Mishnah, it's some sort of cake that they made with zeitim, with olives. Rabbi Yossi Amar Hashlachin Asurin. Okay, most of these things we're going to have to wait for the Mishnah. Okay, this is some sort of olives. The Chagavim Ba'im Min Aslula Asurim Min Heftek Mutarim. Okay, these are grasshoppers that come from the... they're sold in the shuk in a basket. Those are problematic. But Min Heftek, this is where they get salted. Then it's mutar. Okay, again, we'll get to all this later. V'chein l'truma. And also for truma, we're going to have to see what they're referring to. Tanina l'hadetana rabbanan. Yoshev Yisrael. Here's a braita that supports, or it's the same as the Mishnah, basically. Yoshev Yisrael b'tzad edrosh shel avei kochavim, v'avei kochavim cholev lo. You can sit on the side. Let's say you're at a farm, and the ovei kochavim is milking the cow. You can sit on the side, meaning you don't have to watch. But while he's milking the cow, you can sit there on the side. Ovei kochavim cholev lo umevilo, and he can bring you. Ve'eno choshesh, and you shouldn't have to be worried. He's going to mix a tame animal. So now the Gemara is going to say, hey, chidami, what's the case? If he has no non-kosher animals there, then it's obvious. You certainly don't need to say that. Right? But that if he has other animals, then how can you stand on the side and not watch? So, la'olam di'ika davar tameh, it is a case where there's other tameh animals. V'chikai chazele, v'chiyativ lo chazele. The case is if you stood up, you'd be able to see, but if you sit down, you can't see. Ma'u di'tema kevan di'yativ lo chazele, nichushtum amaitim wa'arepe, kamashmalan d'chikai chazele, irtute mirtav lo ma'arepe. Since you could potentially stand and see, even though you're not watching the whole time, the non-Jew is going to be fearful of you noticing, and therefore we can assume he's not going to do it, and therefore you can be somech on that. Okay, dvash. What's the issue with dvash? Why did it bring up honey in the Mishnah? Dvash lamai nichushle. What should we be worried about? Imishum yaruve. If we're worried they mixed wine into their honey, Mr. Sari, it's going to spoil the honey. Imishum bishule avdei kochavim nechal kamot shuchai. And it's not an issue of bishulakum. Again, we're going through all this is like we started. All the reasons why this is going to be totally mutar, because there's no issue of bishalakum, because it could be imra. And imishum gilei avdei kochavim, no tein tam lefgam hu mutar. Again, if it's cooked in their kelim, then it's going to be mutar. Okay, last part for today. Hadav devaniyot afa pishum min atfot, ein ba mishum hechsher mashkeh. It's not going to be machshir lekabel tumah. I assume they mentioned this because they were talking about honey, because it really has nothing to do with our issue. It's a totally separate issue of tumah, and it's saying that if there's a little bit of liquid in some honeycomb, then we're not going to assume that the liquid, the drops, cause something to makabel tuma. Rumini, but there's a machloket here. There's a contradictory source. Habotzir lagat, if you're in the gat picking the grapes. Shamai omer, and then there's a little bit of juice in the grapes that's dripping. Shamai omer huchshar, Hillel omer lo huchshar. Shamai says it's machshir lekabel tuma, those drips coming out of the grapes. Hillel says no, it's not. Ve'odele Hillel shamai. But then eventually Hillel agreed with Shammai and said, you're right, the juice from the grapes. So this is the same type of thing. So why would you say the juice of the grapes, yes, and the honey dripping from the honeycomb, no? So the answer is, hatam kabayle lemishka, lemashke. Hacha lo kabayle lemashke. The honeycomb people would eat as a solid. You don't need the drips coming out. Nobody's really planning on eating that necessarily. Whereas the grapes, the whole point is you wanted them for the drink. And therefore, we view it as a liquid rather than, and that can be machshir lekabel tuma.
So it's allowed
or not allowed? So it's machshir lekabel tuma. And it's not an issue of, are you allowed to eat or not allowed to eat? This is a totally different issue. This is an issue of, are these things machshir, other things lekabel tuma? If it falls on a solid, right, let's say you have crops there, and it falls on it, remember we talked about the crops, unless the water comes in contact with it, or one of the seven liquids, which one of them is dvash, and one of them is wine, if any of those fall on it, it now has the potential to become tameh. Without a liquid coming in contact with it, a solid item can't become tameh.
Like,
yeah, that's a rule. That's a general rule.
Okay.
Oh, so the truth is, wait. I said this wrong, though. Sorry, I said it wrong. The anavim, oh no, but the other God.
Both the cases anavim. It's just what you want it for.
Ah, okay. So the dav devaniyot also could be the grapes. I see. That's the issue. The dav devaniyot is explained also as being grapes that have, I see. So then the difference is when they're in the sal, right, he... So, but still, let's talk about sal one second. If you're in the gut, then you want them for the wine, And here, the Dav Davaniyot is some, must be some food that you're eating there. Eshkolot shel Ha'as. Sorry, I messed up. The Dav Davaniyot, I got confused with the Dvash. The Dav Davaniyot are bunches of grapes. And since you're eating them as grapes, therefore the juices that come out of them are not considered significant. But if you're making wine out of them, when you're in the gut, that's what you're doing with them, then we're going to view the juice coming out of it as significant. Okay, correct.